today on Older and Wiser.
Birthdays, love them or hate them, will tell you when most people stop celebrating.
Whatever happened to etiquette? A new survey reveals bad news for good manners.
Is your life full of regrets? We'll tell you who feels the worst about the mistakes they've made.
Also, what most people say is the best age for plastic surgery.
Plus, some first date deal breakers.
You're listening to Older and Wiser.
All right, well, I've got a birthday coming up in just a few days.
And yes, you do.
Guess what? I don't care.
What bothers you? The cake, the candles, the crummy cards that cost too much? What?
All of it. My worst case scenario is to be in one of those restaurants where the waiters come around to bring you a cake and sing to you.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's really the worst.
It's not that you're old. You're a grown up and you're thinking, please don't send me one more item that I really don't need. You don't need to spend money on.
What are we celebrating anyway? Congratulations. You made it through the birth canal.
You're alive.
You're not. You lived one more year. Congratulations. You deserve a big pat on the back. You know, it's like my heart kept beating for another year, and so therefore I deserve congratulations.
Can I just say one thing while I'm on this little soapbox here, and then I'll get right off? The truth of the matter is I am annoyed with cards. They cost too much. They're unimaginative. The rhymy, roses are red, violets are blue. I can't stand all of it. To me, the plainer the better.
Yeah. Cards are silly. They're like $5 or something for a piece of cardboard with some
words
on it.
You know what? Go to Trader Joe's. They're cheaper and they're plainer and they're simply designed. And oftentimes, I think the paper may even be recycled. But I just like them. They're simpler and to me, they're classier.
Buy your cheap cards where you buy your cheap wine at Trader Joe's.
That's right.
According to this new survey, the average person stops celebrating their birthday when they hit 31. I think a lot of people never stop celebrating their birthday, so that means that a significant number of people do actually stop in order to bring the average down to 31. I continue to have my birthday celebrated, whether I want it to be celebrated or not, but by the age of 31, I was pretty much over it.
Yeah. Well, also, though, you have kids. You have daughters.
And so we all have to celebrate each other's birthdays.
Yeah. When you have a family, they're going to do something for you. Although I'm wondering if anybody in your family circle is thinking, we got to make a cake.
Yeah, of course they are. I don't even want anybody to worry about it. According to the survey, people who were born in June, September, or October are least likely to celebrate their birthdays. And people who were born in March and August are most likely. What the heck is that about?
What about people? Here's what they left out, the big elephant in the living room, thank you very much. December, because in December, a lot of people, you know, they miss it because, I'm going to get you a Christmas present, or this is your Christmas and your birthday present.
I know.
Or this is your Hanukkah/birthday gift.
It's not fair, is it?
Yeah, right.
My daughter was born on the 31st of December. And
I know somebody was born on Christmas Day. Well, guess what?
That's really rough. The average adult gets 8 cards and 5 presents for their birthday, and 2 out of 3 get a cake.
Yeah, no, I don't need I don't need the cake. It's silly. And let me say one other thing. When you're in a relationship with somebody, I think this is hard too. I think if you're in a relationship with somebody and you grew up celebrating birthdays in a big way and you love that, and the other person doesn't.
Yes.
And then you expect all that and they don't do it. Then
bad.
It becomes another hurdle.
Then the birthday turns into a relationship problem that needs to be resolved. Yeah.
Now we're fighting. You know. Yeah. So now it's like, so the other person says, oh gosh, here comes the birthday. I've got to do something. Now it's a double whammy, you know?
According to this survey, the main reason people don't do anything to celebrate their birthday is that they don't want to spend the time organizing a party. I get it.
Yeah.
You know,
I wouldn't want to organize my own, and I really don't want anybody else, because then if somebody organizes one for you, unless it's outside your central family there, you know, your core people that you live with, now you got to go do it back for them when they have their birthday.
Exactly. The top things that people want if they absolutely have to have a party some sort of remembrance is a weekend trip or a dinner out with the family. And both of those things I can completely put up with.
Yeah.
As long as the dinner out with the family doesn't end with the waiters coming around and singing happy birthday to me. That's all.
Or leaving the bill in front of you.
Which they do.
Happy birthday, you get the bill.
Okay. Moving on. Our next headline is, most Americans think good manners are declining.
Oh, absolutely.
I know you've said that for a long time. This survey from the Associated Press, NORC, Center for Public Affairs Research at the University of Chicago. This survey finds that 74% of Americans believe we have become more rude as a nation. Well, we have Donald Trump to thank for that, maybe.
I hate to say it.
He is our general in charge of rudeness.
Well, that's probably, you can make a good argument for that, but I also have to say, I think it started before him, and he just validated everything. He's just manifesting what everybody else has been starting for a long time.
Maybe he makes us feel better for our rudeness.
Yes, and people give him credit for that because he's speaking plainly.
Exactly. This survey was very specific to etiquette, and according to this, about half of Americans age 18 to 29 feel it's okay to use your cell phone in a restaurant. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, no.
While 22% of those over 60 agree that it's acceptable. So older people say, no, don't use your cell phone in a restaurant. Younger people say it's cool to use your cell phone in a restaurant. What does that say about rudeness, huh?
Some of these folks, these younger folks, have never lived without this technology. And so they haven't seen a nicer way to do anything. They don't know what nicer is because they haven't seen it. That's some have, but a lot have not.
That's a good observation. That's probably it. They have grown up with eating at the dinner table and talking on their cell phones at the same time. And they no one ever suggested that that wasn't okay.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's up to the parents, too. Yeah. That you don't have to be 60 years old to be a parent who says, put the cell phone away or shut it off or leave it in the other room. We are eating. Let's have a family discussion. Let's talk. Let's eat.
This survey says that 1/4 of the American general public admitted to using the F word that's an increase of 10 points since a similar survey was conducted in 2006. This I may have misread this, actually. It says that 1/4 of the American general public admitted to using the F word on a daily basis. So every day, 1/4 of the American public uses the F word. That's pretty frequent, don't you think, every day?
Yeah, I guess sure it is, I suppose, unless you have a limited vocabulary or things go bad for you all the time. I see the new Fitbit coming. What is it, the little watch you wear that counts the number of steps and everything else about your body? Now we have to count how many times you use the F word.
That's a great idea. That is a great invention. You need to patent that, because if you could, you know, somehow it would hear you say the F word and then log it on your watch. That would be wonderful.
The profanity app. There you go.
Yes.
I'm sitting on another million, but I won't make it. Somebody will. And when I read that they did it and they're making money, you know what I'm going to say?
What?
The F word.
Also on this survey, regarding remarks or jokes based on race, gender, or sexuality, apparently 8 in 10 Americans think this is not appropriate. That's good.
That's not appropriate. I don't do that.
Only 7% say they sometimes or frequently make remarks about someone's gender or sexuality in public. Only 7%. That's not surprising.
That's at least it's in a single digit. That's good. We're making some progress somewhere.
Oh, well, then let's move on to the next next survey. Here's the headline. This was published in USA Today. The headline is Americans full of regrets, but also hope. Full of regrets. It says when it comes to major life choices, many Americans are full of regrets. How about you? Are you full of regrets?
I'm not full of regrets. I can look back on my life and say I made some choices that were not as smart as the choices I could have made. In some cases, I might have known better but ignored it. In other cases, I didn't know better, so I did the best I could at the time. Mm-hmm. You know.
According to this survey, 32% of those polled regretted a significant decision, such as a career path they chose or a school they attended. 32% is not that high, really. I think we all could have regretted a big decision we may have made. All that breaks down into age groups as well. Like, the younger people feel differently about this than the older people. Those in Generation X, those, you know, born between the early 60s and the early 80s, they were most disappointed by their life decisions. Isn't that weird? Wouldn't that you think it'd weird. Be older people that
They're
would
so young? Yeah, I would think. Well, I think when you get older, you realize this is a waste of time to regret it.
That's it.
So I don't know if I would expect the oldest that's ones it. To, but I would say people maybe, I don't know, maybe people who are in their like 50s or coming into their 50s, you know, maybe then.
Well, 32% of younger millennials felt that, and 28% of older boomers.
You can be in a situation where you say, I wish I had done A or B. I wish I had, I don't know, gone to the doctor sooner and been more preventive about something, or I wish I had not smoked. I that was my regret. That's my biggest regret, and I never smoked very heavily. Mm-hmm. But when I was in college, I started smoking. I smoked about a pack a week. Most people laugh at that. Mm-hmm. But I never, a pack a day would probably have put me in bed with a stomach ache or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But a pack a week was not that heavy. But I worry about it. I think, why did I even have that going into my lungs, you know?
Well, people talk about sunburn, too. You know,
that's the other one.
Lay out in the sun and they get tanned like crazy when they're in mm-hmm. their 20s. And we find out later that this is a great way to get skin cancer.
Well, sure. It's happening all the time now, you know, because that's the stuff that, you know, 20, 40 years ago, all that damage is coming to roost. So, you know, the thing you can do now is you can sit there and you say, I wish I hadn't gone to the beach when I was 15 and baked in the sun to get the tan. On the other hand, now that you're 60, whatever, then go to the dermatologist once a year and at least get checked. It's not 100% guarantee, but it certainly gives you a much higher edge than sitting there doing nothing and regretting the beach time.
Oh, absolutely. All right, moving on. A new survey reveals the perfect age for plastic surgery. Here it is, in case you're wondering what the right age is. 52 years, 41 weeks, and 4 days.
Yeah, well, too late for me.
But apparently that is an average age in which women in particular decide that they're going to have plastic surgery. I don't know if that's waiting too long. Is that waiting too long? 52?
No, probably. I think that's probably a decent age for it. Because,
you do it too soon, you're going to do it again later.
Yeah, right.
You do it too late, it's kind of like you wasted all that time.
Not only that. I mean, you can do it later. The problem is, you know, if you do your face, then you better do your neck. And if you do your face and your neck, then you better, what can you do for my hands? Otherwise, I can never, you know, scratch my nose again. My hand will look, you know, 100 and my face will look 20. So, I mean, you've got to do all that. I think right now,
everything needs to match is what you're trying to say.
Yes. Yeah. And the trend now, I think, is people are getting a little this and a little that, a little tweak and a little whatever. Yeah. They're not going for the whole
thing,
baseball, you know, because it really, when you think about it, that's something that I think if I had my face pulled really tight at this point, I might regret that.
Oh, I think a lot of women do regret that. Mm-hmm. Money is a big issue when it comes to plastic surgery because it's expensive.
Oh, forget it.
You know, but women say that if money were no object, 1/5 of all women would get a facelift. Mm.
I don't think I would get a facelift at this point. And I'll tell you the truth. I always thought I would at some point because I worked in TV and I thought, you know, the women need the facelifts and the men can, you know, let it all slide. But the truth is, you know, I know women who have done it and they look great on camera.
In person, they look funny, right? Yeah.
It's like, oh, what's with her? Yeah. And or him, you know, sometimes the guys do it too.
A lot of it depends on who you're around too. Like if you're in a social group and all the women are doing it, it feels more normal to do it. Like if all your friends were the housewives of Beverly Hills, you were out to lunch with them all the time and chatting about all this stuff, it wouldn't feel so odd to do it. In my circle of friends, I don't know anybody who's done a lot of plastic surgery, so it would be weird, you know, to say
here.
That I got
I,
it.
I, yeah. My friends are close women friends are pretty smart ladies.
People would do, 25% would opt for an eye lift.
I wouldn't mind doing something like that. I wouldn't mind getting
a little something like that.
Lid
a little
done,
pull.
Like that, just to open your eye a little more.
How but about a tummy tuck? Would you like that? 29% would.
Well, I don't know.
29% would choose Botox or chemical peels.
See, back to the tummy tuck for a second.
The tummy
tuck. If I had the tuck and spent the money on that at this age, Then after that, I got to preserve it because I'm not going to do that every year.
Well, you also would be obligated to join Match.com and start working on that whole thing.
No, but I would be obligated to put the potato chips down, and that would be a very good
I see,
on a nightly basis.
Yeah, you can't do the tummy tuck and then continue to add more fuel to the fire. No, you mustn't do that. 29% would rather look 20 years younger than be a millionaire, according to this survey.
Oh, no, I think I'd rather be a millionaire. I don't want to look 20 years younger.
Me too.
I really don't. I wouldn't mind looking 5 years younger, or I wouldn't mind. Actually, it's not even a question of an age. It's a question of if you have a little, like the 11 lines between your eyes or something, you know, maybe you want to get rid of that, or you want to lift your eyelids. But that's yeah. one little thing. That's not 20 years younger. That's just looking a little bit more awake. I'd rather be the millionaire, though, because quite honestly, if you're a millionaire, then you can take the money and run and go to the, you could run to the plastic surgeon and get what you want anyway if you got the check cash.
What about fake tans? You know, lots of people are doing that. Maybe it's more down here in Los Angeles than up there in Northern California.
I faux tan.
You fake tan?
I faux tan, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is where you go. It isn't the tanning bed, right? Those are dangerous. But the where you get the spray, right?
Yeah. No. I don't even do that. I do my own. I mean, there's some good products out there. They're sort of the consistency of mousse.
Yeah.
And you have to keep it up. But I swim in the summer, and I literally get in the pool, swim for about 40 minutes, and then get out, and that's it. And over a period of the summer, I can get a little bit of sun, and I figure, all right, that's my vitamin D for the day. But a little bit of tanning happens there, or sometimes not, or it's not even because, you know, it just... So
you're into it, yeah. Only 15% of women over 50 admit to still wearing a padded bra. Isn't that interesting? Only 15%. I guess when you get to a certain age, you just go, why am I wearing a padded bra?
Just, you know, whole things. It was Joan Rivers had a great line. What was she said she could get a mammogram and her shoes shined at the same time. Let's think about that a minute.
We'll end on that.
It all falls eventually for all of us. You know, there's only two choices. You either get old or you die.
Moving on, the headline here, 5 Surprising First Date Deal Breakers. This was published by lifehacker.com. And according to one survey of over 1,300 singles, there are certain things you should try to avoid if you're on a date. And so many people over 50 are kind of, getting a second chapter. Something has happened in their lives. They've divorced or they've lost a spouse, and it's time to get out there in the dating pool again. And so we present this to you just as a public service.
Okay. Yes.
You know.
Go ahead.
Yes. According to this survey, obviously there are a couple of things that will. Break the deal right away. One of which is getting too drunk on the first date or spending too much time on your phone.
Both. You know, both say one thing. I really don't want to be here with you. I want to be doing something else.
Or talking about your other dates, which also does the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, same thing.
But what's weird about the survey is that they came up with a few things that were surprising, things that they weren't so obvious. 83% of those surveyed said... they preferred an all-around casual first date. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, if you show up on your first date and you're dressed too formally, that's a deal breaker.
Don't wear heels and play miniature golf. I agree.
Yeah. They don't like it when their date takes pictures of the food.
Get a life. Yeah. Or go work for Gourmet Magazine.
I mean, it's okay. It's okay to take pictures of the food, but maybe not on the first date.
Yeah, I don't think on any date. Why would you take pictures? Unless they bring something. Somebody says, I'm taking you to this restaurant. I want you to try the Baked Alaska. You've never seen or tasted one like this. And they bring it out and you go, oh my God, you're right.
You also, according to the survey, do not want to take selfies.
Well...
don't take a selfie of yourself with your first date. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's like, look, everybody, I'm with so-and-so and we have a date. Well, this may be the first and only date.
68% of singles surveyed said they would rather have their date talk too much than too little.
Right.
Would probably be a great date because you talk too much.
You don't have to say a word.
Yeah.
But then again, I go home and I don't know anything about you, so I should shut up. I need to work on that.
It does allow it does allow the other person to analyze you while you're chatting. You know, I can look you up and down and like think about whether I'm liking you or not.
But the other thing too, though, is that I think a lot of people are not comfortable. You know, it's the same kind of thing. If you go into a cocktail party or a business situation or anything social where you don't know everybody, a lot of people get very nervous in those situations. And I think that probably speaks to this.
Yeah. You might want to hold off on adding your date on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. 20% of those surveyed said this would make them feel uncomfortable. I would say 100%. That would make me feel very uncomfortable if I was out on a first date and the person added me to their Twitter account.
Let me take your picture and show everybody that we're out.
And finally, 3% of those surveyed said that being a bad kisser was a deal breaker. Only 3%. I'm surprised. Mm-hmm. You would think, think that would be a bigger deal important. For people, yes. You know?
Yeah, although I guess maybe people feel, well, if everything else is in place, we could have a few kissing lessons and see what we could do and to improve things.
Have you ever been out with a really bad kisser?
Do
you remember the worst?
In college.
Yeah. In college, yeah.
I've kind of seen this up and close and personal. My mother was in assisted living. And I'm telling you right now, people of a certain age, not a certain age, beyond a certain age, okay, in their 80s and 90s, I wonder if the dentures come into play if they have them.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Well, in other words, let's say we both wear dentures. Well, are you gonna take yours out, and are we going to do the slowly kind of thing?
Don't you leave them in? You would just leave them in.
I know, but then if things get really passionate, then we may have to stop and take a break and put our polygrip back in.
We should be asking people with dentures how their dentures affect their love life.
Yeah,
and
I
whether
wanna know.
What's the protocol?
Yeah, you know. Well, it'd be good to have this information for the days, the years.
For the future.
Well, and future decades, should we live that long. Although I remember once asking a bunch of women at a table, and I went around and I said, if some good-looking guy walked in here, wouldn't you be open? Would you get married again? Would you be in a relationship again? And they all quickly, before I could even put my fork down at dinner, they said, no, except my friend Alice, God love her. She's in heaven now, and she was the oldest one, and she goes, well, I don't think I would get married, but I'd have an affair.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's all the time we have today. Susan, that's been lots of fun.
It has been fun. I'm going to go out and watch people kiss.
Yeah. Take pictures with and take selfies with them. Yeah.
Right.
All right. We'll see you next time. And for all the news and entertainment for baby boomers and beyond, be sure to check us out at olderandwiser.com. Susan, see you next time.
Okay.